friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well, guess beggars can't be
choosy. Vic Carucci with you from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the 2014 Senior Bowl, here with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we want to tell you, Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans of the official Cleveland Browns fan club, Browns backers worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports, and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. And I am here, and Jim Donovan is there in Berea in the Dog Bowl. So, Jim, let's talk about what we saw yesterday and actually listen to some of what was said after the game. I think we've got to start in the obvious place because it became – maybe unfortunately, it became a bigger story than a very entertaining game and an outcome that sets up, I think, a pretty good Super Bowl between Seattle and Denver. But it was Richard Sherman, the cornerback for the Seahawks, and his little tirade after the game when Aaron Andrews of Fox Sports tried to interview him.
The final play, take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you.
All right, so Jim, in your many years as a fine professional broadcaster, and you've done this TV thing, and you've done, I believe... Have you done sideline? I know you did.
I did do sidelines.
So you've done it all. Give me a sense of that setup and that scene when you saw what you were thinking about.
Well, from the broadcast side, it was a great get. I mean, it's what you call a great get. I mean, she got the player. The NFL has these cooling off periods, and you can see sometimes why they have them, because, you know, a player can kind of come down. She got him a minute and a half after he had made the play of his career. And obviously, I mean, he was still full of the excitement and the just unbelievable passion that was being played out on that field. So, I mean, from the broadcast side of things, I mean, it was an incredible moment, and it even brought you more inside the hostility that those two organizations and teams in a competitive way had for each other. I mean, it was unbelievable, because then minutes later, Richard Sherman was up on the dais with Terry Bradshaw, and he was like a Vienna choir boy at that point in time. I mean, he was throwing bouquets to everybody. And then minutes after that, he then went over, and he was on the set with the Fox broadcasters, and he was even more calmed down and kind of giggling about what had just happened. But, I mean, you really captured a player, you know, right out of the moment. I mean, that was absolutely amazing. But it you could feel that in the game, and then it came out in his words.
And Richard is, I think... calculated enough, smart enough to know exactly what he was doing. This is a stage. This is a guy who has kind of had a great feel for multiple years of his media brand. He's been trying to build that right along in Seattle, and now he has the ultimate stage in sports to make it even bigger.
Well, the other thing, Vic,
I saw this as the launching pad.
Those two had gone at it the entire game.
Right.
I mean, there was a play not too far back before the end of the ball game there, where Crabtree actually heard footsteps over the middle and kind of pulled his hands back, kind of alligator armed the ball on a ball over the middle, and you could see the two jawing right after that. I mean, it was, you just talk about classic matchups. I mean, you can talk about Joe Hayden and AJ Green and how they go at each other, but these two guys, because they play in the same division, you know, go at each other twice, you know, each year, and then into the playoffs. I mean, it was just an amazing battle that just played out all afternoon.
Yeah, and both of these teams are just wired that way. Now, let's hear from Michael Crabtree. We've heard a lot about Richard Sherman and what he's had to say about his side of that play and that huge interception that he tipped, of course, that led to the interception to end the game effectively for the Seahawks win. Let's hear from Michael Crabtree.
I mean, we just couldn't capitalize, you know. I was throwing this out, trying to break it up, but Sherman made a good play. I mean, that's probably the only play he made the whole game. If you cut up the film and look at it, guys are beat. I mean, we're doing our job. I mean, whatever it takes, we just came short at the end.
The only play he made, he got his little shot in it there.
Hey, Vic, that's speaking awesome. Of the only play made, how about the play of the linebacker to be in the end zone to get the tip?
Yeah.
Because Sherman made a phenomenal play. I mean,
right.
Timed it well, got up there, reached. I mean, had great inside position. I mean, technique-wise, perfect. But if he just tips the ball, I mean, isn't it only like second down then?
They've got at least probably two other shots.
And they've got a couple of timeouts, so they had plenty of time to take a couple of
maybe
more shots.
Three.
But that linebacker is sitting there in the end zone to get the deflection and pick it off and put the thing away. I mean, it just speaks to the way that Seattle played defense all day long. When they really had to make plays, they made plays.
And it speaks to Dan Quinn. It speaks to that guy.
Well, obviously
that
it does. Yeah,
that is on the list, if you will. And you know, we'll see what that what happens from that. But yeah, I think you don't want to give everything all credit to one person, but it is his defense, it is his scheme, and putting people in the what do we want from coaches the most? Put players in the best position to make plays, and that might have been the case there. I'll tell you another guy that's interesting in this whole process because he's so. Low-keyed, but he is someone who I think if the Seahawks, and we're going to have a long time to talk about this, but if Seahawks are going to have a prayer against the Denver Broncos, and the reason that I think probably people view the Broncos at least as a slight favorite going into this game is that quarterback matchup. It's Peyton Manning overshadowing, and it would be the case if Colin Kaepernick was the other guy, but I think it's even more so because Russell Wilson hasn't been spectacular. He wasn't spectacular yesterday, but such a bright, cerebral guy who breaks things down so interesting. And let's hear what Russell has to say, his first thoughts on matching up with the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl.
To go against a guy that's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, is a tremendous honor. But at the same time, it's not me versus him. It's the Denver Broncos versus Seattle Seahawks, and it'll be a great game. It'll be a great battle, and we'll prepare the right way, and we'll make sure that we're ready to go and come out with a lot of energy.
Is it hard to believe he's a second-year guy only?
Well, he had that baseball stuff, too. I mean, he had another career. He knows what he is, Vic, and he also knows what he isn't. And I think that's really important. And he'll play this very, very well. And, you know, Vic, if you go back, you remember the Patriots' first Super Bowl championship?
Yes.
When they beat the Rams, the greatest show on turf, right? And, you know, you kind of have that kind of matchup going into this game at the quarterback spot. I mean, you had Warner, you know, for the Rams coming off a Super Bowl title the year before. And you had young Tom Brady, who had come in for Bledsoe and gotten hot, but, you know, who still had a lot to learn, and you had the same kind of thing going in to this Super Bowl now with Wilson going in against the great, I mean, really, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Peyton Mannings. It sets up as a fascinating matchup, and that if Wilson just continues to play the way he is, which is within himself, that he knows what he is, but he knows that he can't carry that team, and he knows what does carry that team. If he doesn't overplay his hand, I think that he can keep... He won't hurt them, and then that defense has to do what they have to do to win the game.
What's fascinating to me, too, is that a guy that young understands about staying within himself and understands that it doesn't have to all be about him. I think other young quarterbacks put some pressure on themselves. I thought Colin Kaepernick in the late stages of that game started to do just that. He started to press. He was playing very much like a guy who understood the big picture, who was smart, making good decisions, running when he was supposed to run, not forcing throws. In fact, I was watching the game with someone last night, and I turned and I said, he's going to throw an interception right before that interception. And not that I was so prophetic, but I said I knew he was going to try to force something. And it turned out that, as you mentioned, not only was Sherman there in coverage to make a great play, but someone to grab the rebound as a linebacker. And I just think that decision-wise, you know, going there obviously was something he would want to have back. And he was a guy who had already been on a roll of you know, those turnovers. But you look at Russell Wilson and just listen to him and watch him play. He stays right to the level of a guy who seems to be much older than his years.
Well, he's made a lot of big decisions in his life. I mean, follow his career. You know, he played the baseball thing. He played at North Carolina State, right?
Yes.
Then he left.
Before he transferred,
Yeah, he got out of there and he went to Wisconsin. He walked into a really good situation in Wisconsin. But that's a big decision to make at that point in time. Why not stay at North Carolina State? He said, no, not a good situation for me. I think there was a coaching change at that time. And he went to Wisconsin. He did good things there. Not great things. I mean, you know, he did very good things
there. Yeah.
And even yesterday when he was asked, and they tried to bait him a little bit in the post-game interview where I think it was Kurt Menefree said to him, hey, listen, you know, how do you feel about, you know, all those other quarterbacks that were picked before you? And I think he even brought Brandon Whedon's name up. And the kid didn't play into that at all. I mean, he just right. answered it very intelligently about he's gotten a great opportunity there. He really is he's a smart guy that I've said it twice before this. He knows exactly what his limits are.
And that is usually the sign of intelligence of an athlete. It's,
right.
it's the guys who, well, we admire great play, but I think we admire guys who also know when to say when. And I think that's the kind of player he is. Without really limiting himself or his football team, this young guy is about to play in his first Super Bowl. All right, we're going to have more. We'll look at things from a Broncos perspective, from that AFC championship game perspective. That is coming up. We're going to have Gerard Cherry at 2:45. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Vic Carucci. He is Jim Donovan, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.